Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Micaiah Bilger, who is with the Life News website. They provide great information, especially related to pro-life issues, including threats to the unborn and threats even to the elderly, the other spectrum of life. Now comes a story by Micaiah, our guest for this segment, about a pro-life teacher who was fired in Canada. And I read your story, and I felt, wow, this seems very unjust, especially after the guy apologized. So welcome back to the program, Micaiah, and tell us about this teacher that was let go.
Sure. Thanks so much. This really is kind of a shocking case out of Canada. We hear all the time about pro-life students being censored, pro-life speakers on college campuses, but this appears to be the first time that involved a teacher actually being fired for speaking his beliefs. And basically, this is a very simple, he made a very simple statement to a group of students. It was a 44-year-old teacher. He'd been teaching there for a while. He was described as an outstanding educator by his colleagues. And he was teaching the 12th grade law class at this Vancouver area school. And, you know, he was talking about criminal law and ethics, and he brought up abortion just in passing. And his statement is, and I quote, "I find abortion to be wrong, but the law is often different from our personal opinions," unquote. That's what he said. It was just a quick example, and he moved on. Well, he said the trouble began a couple minutes later when he had the class on a five-minute break. Apparently, there was a young woman who felt triggered, she said, by what he had said, and said that she felt unsafe because a man should not be expressing any opinions about abortion because he's a man and can't get pregnant. So apparently, she went to the school administrators, who asked the teacher to apologize. The teacher, he said at first he didn't want to, but he was afraid for his job. He has a family, and he was, you know, he was kind of panicking. So he did apologize and, you know, said that he shouldn't have, you know, voiced his personal viewpoints and was sorry that he offended the student. Well, apparently the apology wasn't good enough because a day or two later he was fired. And the school told him that while he was an outstanding teacher, their first priority is student safety. And apparently by student safety, they mean that teachers cannot express views that are against abortion in any way. A really very scary situation.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. It's funny how at the beginning of this, you mentioned how we hear about the discrimination against students who are pro-life. But here's a case involving a teacher. At least in the American context, the students seem to have more rights than the teachers do in terms of expressing their conservative or Christian views, including pro-life views. And what kind of school is this within Canada?
Sure. So one thing is, this is a private school. This is not a public school in Canada. So the laws are a little different regarding that, and I assume they would be here in America too. I'm not too familiar with, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not too familiar with all the ins and outs of that, but because it's a private school, I believe they have more of a grounds to fire teachers based on those kind of things, whereas if it was a public school, free speech tends to be more protected by government regulations.
Sure.
So the teacher did say that he was not planning to file a lawsuit or anything like that, but he also said that, you know, he has not given his name out because he's afraid of not being able to find a job anywhere else. So just, again, a sad situation.
That is sad. It seems as if there's a systematic plan to just kind of drum out anybody with conservative Christian views, and that includes, of course, pro-life. So, okay, so let's take this for a moment. Okay, some of your stories show that on occasion a case can be made. Not everybody agrees with what I'm about to say. A case can be made that abortion can be linked to breast cancer. Okay, a case can be made like that. Now, if somebody were to say that and then, you know, give the actual scientific data, I remember talking with a friend of mine saying, look, the AMA, because this is so politically incorrect, they never report on this. But I remember seeing an article in The Lancet, which had that link between those two, or at least, you know, potential link between those two. And, you know, and yet the AMA would never touch this. Okay, so if a teacher said that this could be bad for you, abortion could be bad for you, then that would trigger somebody, and then that teacher could be fired, even though it's true? Or what about the psychological? I mean, there are definitely cases where women have abortions, and they feel terrible about it, and they had no feeling that they would feel terrible about it. They thought, oh, I'm going to get this abortion. The problem will be solved. I'll move on with my life. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it'll all be over. And then they have this terrible feeling of guilt. And it's not because of anybody's fault. It's just something internal. It's because they violated natural law.
I think one of the things that I've noticed with this kind of younger movement, the students who are in high school and college now that are talking about triggering and getting upset, really upset over people just expressing their views,
it's
really about feelings and emotions and not about facts. That is really what all this has to do with. I've heard abortion activists talk about that. Well, you know, even bringing up the fact that there are studies showing that abortion may lead to an increased risk of breast cancer is shaming women. They'll make that argument in regard to laws, in regard to informed consent. So it's really, I think, a focus on just feelings, and if a woman feels like this is what she should do, then, you know, no one should tell her otherwise. It's we're really moving, I think, away from a fact-based and information-based and morality-based decisions with this kind of fringe group of young people that are always talking about triggering and things like that in these situations.
It's funny you use the phrase fringe group, but this almost seems like it's becoming more and more of the majority. Because, think, for example, after the Trump-Pence victory, remember the headlines, you know, where some of the schools were, you know, basically coddling students. I mean, I think the most incredible example was the University of Michigan. We will provide Play-Doh and coloring books for some of the students who feel bad about the results of the election to work out your feelings.
I honestly think that it is for the most part a small number of students that are making a big noise about this. I've seen a lot of encouraging signs from other students on, you know, high school and college campuses, those who are starting pro-life groups. The number of pro-life groups high school and college groups are really growing in huge, huge numbers all across the world. So, I mean, we do have this side that's into the triggering and the emotions and things like that, but we also have, I think, the exact opposite, the students that are want to know the truth, want to know the facts, and are seeking that out, and especially in the pro-life movement, are you know, forming these clubs and are taking action and you know, trying to get out the information and to fight for the right to life. So it is hard to say, and maybe the fringe wasn't the best word.
No. I think it actually makes total sense, and I think you're 100% right when you were saying that that the, you know, it's becoming more feelings oriented as opposed to you know, fact based. I think that's true, and I think that's true a lot in the education. What's interesting, though, about this is that we live in a society where, thankfully, we care about consumer reports. If you're going to buy a car, you're going to, you know, make some sort of financial transaction or something like that, you should know the facts. You should know the facts up front. And yet somehow abortion is this sacred industry that the women who should have a vested interest, who do have a vested interest in knowing the facts, are sometimes not told those facts. Now, in some cases, it may be a type of situation where, like the old Simon and Garfunkel song, a man who hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. They don't want to hear the facts. They just want to make their decision. And then later, should they happen to see a sonogram or something on a Nova TV special about pregnancy or something like that, oh my goodness, what have I done? You know, but we should inform people with the facts. And this is a huge decision to make an abortion.
It is. And you're absolutely right. They're really scary.
Okay, you're in a bad cell. You're in a bad cell. Just move the phone back to where you were before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah, this, I think this reflection, this situation in Canada really reflects, as we're talking about, a larger issue, as you're saying, that just there is a concerted effort in the abortion, pro-abortion movement to hide the facts from women, because they know that when women see the facts, when they know all the information about abortion, they tend to choose life. They tend not to have abortion. I mean, there are some exceptions to that.
Sure.
But there is a very concerted effort to hide basic facts about a baby's development in the womb, about studies showing risks to abortion, about women who share their stories after having abortions that regret them and are encouraging women, other women, not to make that same decision. There's really a very concerning amount of censorship going on, and attempts to censor the pro-life movement, and attempts to censor the facts when it comes to abortion.
Okay, now as far as this teacher, any new item to report? I mean, the guy is basically out of a job. It's not a good time to be looking for a job, I would imagine, if you're a teacher and you lose your job November 30, which is what happened.
Yeah. I don't have too much new to report. I know that the teacher said I really feel for him, because he said he didn't want to bash the school in any way. He didn't want to criticize the student. He didn't use any names specifically. He was really reluctant to damage, or say anything bad about the school, because there's a lot of good things going on. But
sure.
He said, they did. They fired him for simply stating his beliefs. And so he right now is just looking for a job, trying to, do his best, because he cares about students and he cares about information. So,
it's so sad it's so sad to hear this, Micaiah, because it's like, you want good teachers. You want people like this. So, for this school to have this kind of outcome, it just shows you that, why is political correctness such a big problem in our culture? Well, part of the problem is within the educational system, that fire a good guy like this who made this mistake, and he even apologized. And who says it's even a mistake? I mean, are our opinions, lost once we walk over the threshold of the school?
Yeah. I just, have to wish the best for this guy and hope, that by drawing attention to what's going on, that there will be more people, that will speak up for people like him and stop this, ongoing push toward censorship and restrictions of freedom of speech. So it's good to that he was willing to share his story, at least in a limited sense, and to raise awareness that this is happening, and we need to be talking about it and sharing about it, so that we can counter this and counter what's going on, and speaking up for freedom of speech and for the right to life in our society.
Amen. And what is your website?
We are at lifenews.com.
Lifenews.com. Okay, thank you so much, Micaiah. Appreciate it. All the best.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.